What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, bring to him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. And that's how I'm going to start. I know it's an imposition of different celebrations, but why not start a celebration of the resurrection of Christ by celebrating his birth? Because it makes the celebration of his death and resurrection that much meaningful. And that's his probably as sappy, holistic as I'm going to get during this particular podcast. It's a different tone. It's going to be filled with music from all over the world, celebrating the one great point in human history, the resurrection of Christ. Well, in Christian history, the resurrection of Christ. And it's part of my walk as I grow stronger just as a human. Where does my walk go as I celebrate and I meditate on my blessings and how grateful I am to be alive one more year to be able to celebrate Easter? I think this emergence that we all are experiencing through COVID, it's very poignant this year. It is our resurrection, and what are we going to do with the blessing that we're going to give? And that's going to be my focus. And this is, in the background, you hear the beautiful, stylistic, classic music from the Gothenburg Symphony. It's part of their Tchaikovsky Overture, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And again, thank you for listening. And blessings on this great Sunday morning. Virgin Mary, descended from a King David, born in a barn, Bethlehem, came of age in town, Nazareth. He was the Word made manifest, not at all unexpected. Legal proof of his existence debated unnecessarily. For 2,000 years, whole organized religions perverted his truth, dominating, conquering in his name, ultimately failing, falling, because all flimsy foundations fall. He was spirited to Egypt to escape murder by a king, to return to Nazareth as a child, shown at the temple to the teachers who would betray him to be murdered. It doesn't matter if the parables happened or if they didn't. Jesus came back to Nazareth. It's most important if the words were spoken and we receive them into our hearts and mind. The words accepted into our spirits, take it or leave it, believe it or not, the words go on even until his death. Because we have to do the work to accept it all. The journey did not end at Golgotha, it just began. The book of life may not have ended with the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming back. I would argue he never left. Just for clarification, Jesus was a brother, or at least an other. can't be exposed to all that sun. And not be bronze, just saying. And the pictures need to be more of an accurate depiction culturally, as if it matters. We study to gain understanding individually. You got to know him for yourself and not what was told to you. My walk is my own. And that's how I wanted to talk about this. That's my unusual, something I usually don't do or have not done a lot in the past several years, because I used to write poetry and I used to attend the Poetry Slam at Barnes & Noble back in the day, but I wanted to write something that would express or articulate how I was feeling. And I was actually, I'm feeling pretty elated this holiday. And it's more than just a holiday for eating or for some people that are drinking. But before I go on, I needed to basically just speak about what we were just listening to. That was Gloria and Dee from the Atlanta Symphony Chorus. And I can't wait to a time when we're going to be able to get back to truly live music instead of just streaming it. I think I was brought to Chattanooga for a reason. I'm sorry about that crazy pause, but I wanted to have a little bit more continuation of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. And as I was saying, I am happy, or I'm going to be happy, as I was saying, that when we can get back to attending live music, I want to go to the Met, the opening of the Metropolitan Opera in New York. I want to go to the Symphony in Atlanta. And I'm glad I was able to, when I was researching the music for this episode, why didn't I know or forget that Atlanta has an amazing symphony? And I want to see the Atlanta Symphony Chorus live eventually. I think this year is going to be too early for either of those endeavors, so I'm going to have to buckle down and do what I need to do to remain healthy and alive, shoot, to be able to go to these benefits or to these, wow, this is beautiful. I want to go to these performances to enjoy and to be in the moment. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I love music, and I love all sorts of music, as my playlist can attest to. All of the music, with the exception of most of this, the Atlanta Symphony Chorus, this particular, all of the performances on this album are not all included in the playlist, but it's the playlist itself for one podcast on iTunes is just testament to my eclectic, what I actually like. I go from jazz, and this is all this choral music, also to some trap music is also included in there. It just depends on my mood, and that's why I don't want to be like the person that only goes to church like twice a year, like Christmas and Easter, because that's how it would equate to, I felt, if I actually was like playing Mahalia Jackson all through this episode. And that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to basically include the type of music and celebration of Easter without necessarily the words or words that I understand, because I don't speak Italian or German or Russian, but I wanted to represent in the type of or music that across all cultures that can uplift and that soars. And what better way to do that by playing Bach and Beethoven, Tchaikovsky? You know, these are the guys back in the day that the church, the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, commissioned to write some of the greatest hymns that were to celebrate Christianity and Christ and your walk. And that's what, and it's a different way to express that. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the Baptist and then on to the Holiness Pentecostal Church. And, you know, we had our own hymns. A lot of the hymns, the old spirituals, are of suffering, are expression or articulation of suffering, etc. But, and that would have been, and it would have been great for a different podcast. But my podcast is different. It's because I can find the inspiration and in different modes of expression. I don't think we are stuck just to one because it wasn't used in, or if you're not used to it. I think that's when you get trapped, and that can lead to frustration if you don't find other ways of self-expression. And that's why I wanted to include music that you can be in the moment and just reflect on how you feel in that moment. Does it elate you? And is it truly representational of where you want to go or where you are right now? And is it makes you happy to celebrate the beauty that truly is the resurrection? And this is how I'm going to end this particular section. Be in the moment with Dominique Diaz from the Atlanta Symphony Chorus. That is Magnificat in D major by the late, great Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by I don't know if it's the Luke chorus or what, who these people are. All I know is that they are singing their hearts out. This is a section of the, and I thought, I'm hopeful that you don't think it's weird that I have such a song of celebration where I'm talking about the secular symbols of Easter. Christianity, one of the, I don't know, greatest or worst symbols, or that represents Christianity, is the Christian cross. But it was in effect a gallows, a hanging, because basically when Christ was nailed to the cross, you talk about the electric chair, you talk about the hangman's noose, it's a way, it's a very it's a disgraceful way to punish someone that does crimes. Just like our death sentence, it's not a really deterrent because they utilized it through the first millennia after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And what does it mean? It's to a reminder of the representation of how or what the suffering that he did and the sacrifice and the importance of that sacrifice. Over the centuries, it became apparent that, especially with the Calvinists, they strictly didn't believe in worshiping of symbols and removing symbols from the services, etc. But this is one of those symbols because of its blatant, the horror of it all. Basically, he hung for way too long, and they hung him high and stretched him wide, and he began the long and prolonged process of suffocating. It was like being hung, but not on a hangman's noose. Tried to hurry it along, but only prolonging his suffering. By the stabbing in his side, piercing of his side, then finally breaking his legs, and then he passed away. The torture that he sustained before with the whipping, and then as he hung on that cross, I think that was the point. So we as Christians would never forget the great suffering that he sustained. I think it's appropriate that we remember, and symbols of the remembrance are key. It's not that we're worshiping the symbol itself, we're remembering the significance of what the symbol represents. And that's the difference. What I have depicted in the notes is one of the representations of the cross. This in particular is the Latin cross, but there is also a Greek cross. And then there's all these variations that if you do the research, several representations of the cross are represented in coats of arms within royalty. Even the pagan Druids had some type of representation of their god. But then when I think about this, I think about how the royalty is crazy, because they and the Pope are the representation, men are these representations of God on earth, or the direct lineage to God on earth. And I know that just men, and how arrogant, self-serving are you to think that God needs you and all of that opulence to represent him? You can be a spokesman for him without having to be that separate. I think the presentation of wholeness and goodness and what he says, that's important. But does that mean you need to rule over everyone because you're only men, but you're not God? That's what people, I think, forget. And you can have the representation and you can do God's work, but you don't have to beat people over the head with it. So having the cross on a shield of armor is so misses the point, I think. And I think the whole cloistered nuns and religions that worship the Virgin Mary, again, misses the point. The point was, yes, she was chosen, but it was who that she bore. And it was the son is not, the mother is not more important than the son. So these cults of Mary, it kind of, again, it all misses the point. And sometimes I think, in my mind anyways, that organized religion missed the whole point. They're so far away from promoting the word about who the word itself and who it the representation of the word instead, but they worship just the person and not the word. And I don't know if that really makes sense, but that's when, and that's why I said at the top of the show that we all, I think the organized religion has so missed the point. It is so not necessary to do all of these things, and there's so many rules, but are the rules truly an extension or explanation of the fact of the word that we are, the word that's in the written Bible, and the people that are saying that interpret the word, are they truly the fountain or the just the teacher, or they're just the messenger? You have to be very careful not to worship the messenger, but what is the messenger saying, and is in, and can you take what they say in totality, because men are fallible. That is the point. And that, what is the point of the cross? It's just a representation of his great suffering and the sacrifice of God because of that everlasting love. I'm not worshiping the cross. What I am doing is making sure I remember and I try to get some type of relationship or a greater understanding, which is the relationship of what my Christian walk means and the words of the Bible, etc. I'm not going to, I don't have time. One, I don't have time to delve deeper into it, but that is what my take on the cross means to me. What a way to begin this section of the podcast with the Easter Bunny and all of the significance of it, as well as the Fabergé eggs. This is Symphony No. 9 in D minor by the late great Ludwig van Beethoven. And the reason why I think this is so significant is how the Germans absolutely they invented, one of their many inventions, great inventions, was the Easter Bunny, and the significance of it. The Easter Bunny, I'm sure, has some pagan attachment, but the significance of it was children were given these baskets, or the Easter Bunny, the story was the Easter Bunny would come to the little children, and good little children that would get eggs, which is a sign of resurrection, or Rebirth and Candy, they would have the opportunity to go door to door and receive eggs. The painting of the eggs, or the dyeing of the eggs, became a later convention as, again, a representation. Some of them were dyed in blood, red for the blood spilled of Christ. The other were dyed green for luck. And it depends on cross-culturally how beautifully they would be decorated. The representation of the eggs and highly skilled decorated eggs that I have included with the podcast notes are actually from Poland. And there, it depends on the culture. Again, what or how the eggs, the significance of how the eggs would be decorated. Again, it's celebration of the fertility, and also back in these medieval times, children surviving past infancy was something also to be celebrated. And the children would, and that's why the significance of the Easter egg and fertility is a sign of that you were doing something right and how blessed you were, because you could celebrate your children, or your children needed to be celebrated in this manner. But then that goes on, or I started reflecting not only on the significance of the Easter eggs themselves, but I like bling, and I'm really very bougie, and I'm always fascinated by jewels and the opulence, again, going back to royalty, and in particular, the Romanovs, which started with, I believe, Peter the Second, which was Catherine the Great's son, who I think had a traumatic brain injury, don't get me wrong, but there's something that's off with the Romanovs, so you can't keep marrying your cousins and not have something wrong with you, but that's neither here nor there. So this is what I got. These over-the-top opulent eggs started out as a gift to one of the empresses of Alexander the Third, to his wife, and then carried on when Fabergé was commissioned as the royal gold and silversmith. These eggs have a surprise inside. But this not only represents the celebration of Christianity, the whimsy, and that they had all of this wealth, and he had all this license to create some of the most expensive in a lot of ways gaudy, very naturalistic stones. They all had like these, the base are over the top and were also by themselves very expensive. There's a pearl egg, there's a 12 monogram egg. I did not include all of these, the pictures of all of these in the podcast notes, but there's also an imperial coronation egg that I think was a celebration of Nicholas II, his coronation. And if you look at lore and what the representation of the monarchy is or was, they again were the representation of God on earth, but we already have that representation. Why did we have to have certain families or certain people representing this? You know, you could look at this, these eggs as two ways. The shell on the outside could represent a coffin, or the monarchy is that egg, or the a very fragile shell. They built this fragile shell of the monarchy around it, around them. Wealth and opulence, and they depended. They were so deluded that they didn't think that people were going to rise up and overthrow them. And actually, the entire Romanov family was murdered for just for being that. They went from one extreme to the other. Either they had gaudy and silly and you know, just repulsive means to represent wealth, but it wasn't shared equally, and people were greatly suffering to keep them going. So these representation of the egg really truly represented also the death nail and the caskets, a representation of how your wealth and separateness, because that's what they did. They separated themselves. They were so far removed from the everyday. They weren't read. They could not, when they were so removed from the actual everyday of the people, they could not understand why they had to change. And because they could not change, they were ill-prepared, and they were, and almost did not see the revolution coming. But could it have been prevented? Yes, it probably could have been if they had been halfway open into understanding and the necessity of being able to change through the times and to become and to continue to be relevant. So what these eggs represent, a pastime and a waste, and those shells, those fragile shells, with all these beautiful opulence, and even though there was a great surprise on the outside, it still could not protect them from their own demise at the hands of their own people. The people were supposed to have loved them, but the people came after them because how could they? I think they were just trying to emerge from yet another environmental disaster and famine. When Nicholas II came in power, and his beautiful empress, I think her name is Alexandra, came into power, the wealth of the empire was on display, but as the people were starving and dying in the streets, what a waste. And if they had just been able to focus on the understanding and going and furthering what the monarchy should be doing and how can the government better be improved to truly govern and support the citizens, they could have prevented that. But again, like everything man-made, they absolutely missed the point. And that's where I'm going to leave you with the Surrexit Christus hoodie. We're coming up on a time of great extremism. I'm hopeful that people will find a balance between church and spirituality and the government. I am hopeful that we can get past the symbolism and just the visual and just focus on your walk and what the words of the Bible and the message of Christ really means to you and how is it going to change your life. That's what I'm focusing on. I'm not going to beat this over anyone's head, but I am going to encourage other people to further their walk, celebrate this time, and know the meaning. Because that's truly what it's all about. And nobody should be able to tell you what your walk should be and what your walk can't be. That's not fair. And this is Resurrexy, another hymnal by the choir of Clare College in Cambridge and Graham Ross. You know, why not? Again, it's about how you feel in the moment. And this day is a celebration. The traumatic and cruel death of Jesus Christ and the subsequent resurrection, rebirth. Why not in this moment be able to reflect on the crap show that was the past year and just be thankful that we can emerge brand new and not waste time on silly pursuits, avarice. Let's reflect and be calm and just focus on being healthy. Focus on the health of your body and your mind. And I hope you enjoy and were uplifted. And thank you for listening.